Golican Wingo with you on a Monday morning, presented by Progressive Insurance. All phone guests join us on the Shell Pensola Performance Line. Mike Golic, Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. So we've talked a lot about baseball and the injuries and the spate of arm injuries to pitchers and the coronavirus outbreak. We've done a deep dive into Jamal Adams and the trade that he wanted and got and what it means for Seattle and maybe more importantly what it means for the front office and coaching staff of the New York Jets going forward into the 2020 season. But we can't avoid this next story any longer.
We can't, and it's not even about positive tests in a sport.
No.
You know, I mean, it's about a sport in the NBA, in the bubble, which has done extremely well.
Yes, it has.
With their guidelines, with their protocols, with players inside the bubble anyway, following those protocols to where we know the last round of tests, they had no positives. But there have been a couple of stories about players going outside the bubble for excused reasons, like Zion Williamson, who is now back in. He'll be something we talk about as well. And then there's Lou Williams, who was excused for a viewing of a friend, I believe.
Yeah, close family friend passed away, and so he left for the viewing, and it was an excused absence there. And in the same way, with Zion, part of the protocol, and the reason it has worked so well for the NBA, is because they have these strict guidelines. And he was tested every day while he was away from the NBA bubble in the course of this. He was back within that allotted time where it could be as little as 4 days, like we're seeing with Zion Williamson,
right,
or it could be as many as 14 days, depending on what you're exposed to while you're outside, and that becomes the crux of this conversation.
Because the NBA is investigating, because there was a picture posted of Lou Williams at an Atlanta gentleman's club on Thursday night called Magic City. It was a photo taken by a rapper, Jack Harlow, who is a friend of Lou Williams, and then he quickly deleted the post from his Instagram story, tweeting Friday, "That was an old pic of me and Lou. I was just reminiscing because I miss him." So respect for trying to cover it up,
well,
but also
respect
what
for
are you
trying
doing?
To cover it up, but you started the whole thing by posting a picture. What are you doing posting a picture?
I was going
to
say he's simultaneously the best and worst friend you can have.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I love how he tried to cover it. Phenomenal job as a friend, but I mean, if you're a good friend of his, you know the situation we're in here, right? That they're in a bubble and this is the picture you're choosing to post?
Apparently not as much.
No.
But
so there's nuance to this,
well,
apparently.
Well, and I guess this becomes the difficult part of all this, because we're going to have some fun in a second, because once you read the review about the wings at this strip club, and like people are learning, like I think most people were aware of Magic City's place in strip club folklore and, you know, its place in Atlanta's culture, but for anyone that wasn't, you got a crash course on it on Twitter yesterday on just what this place means to a lot of people and the quality of the food at this location, which we will get to in a minute, has a review that will put in proper perspective exactly the force of nature we're dealing with here. But it does beg the question, is Lou Williams now being punished because the restaurant he chose to eat at happens to be named Magic City?
Well, happens to be named Magic City or happens to have a lot of people in attendance, right? Because that's the issue. Because here's Matt Barnes, our ESPN analyst, basically saying this is Lou Williams is being unfairly singled out here, and listen to his rationale.
The fact that it just happened to be Magic City is kind of what got people possibly upset, or whoever's asking for further further action be taken with him. I think it was the fact that it was Magic City, but if it was any other restaurant with his homeboy and they would have took a picture at the restaurant, it wouldn't have been a big deal. But I think everyone thought that, damn, you know, he's, you know, putting everyone else in jeopardy and he's doing all this at a strip club with dancers, but he was simply just eating. So I think this is an overreaction. Obviously, this bubble situation is new for everyone, you know, and a lot of responsibility comes with it. And there have been players that have come and gone out of the bubbles for personal reasons. So we never want to question that. But like I said, if he went to a situation and then wanted to go grab some wings after that, I really don't see an issue with that.
And the wings are supposedly fantastic. That, as an aside, I don't know what's spelled out in the NBA or if it's spelled out, because when we get to the NFL, it is clearly spelled out about what can get you into trouble. I don't know when a player is excused, are they told, don't go to any place that has gatherings? That I have no idea about. So for I guess the sake of this argument, we're going to assume that they leave, they get tested every day, and that's the protocol. So if you sit there and say, in all honesty, well, he was out getting something to eat. I mean, And, well, was there a gathering there? Well, was it a gathering that was under the local codes? Did they fit the bill for the local codes? Then should there be a problem with it? And if he was tested and comes up negative, should there be a problem with it? I think it does come down to the fact, oh, wait a minute, he went to a strip club, so we gotta do something about that, right?
As far as I've read with the NBA's optics. Policy, it's the idea that as long as you're being tested every day, then once you return, because there's a different policy if you're not tested every day, and certainly a positive test would trigger something different. But even if you come back and you have been tested every day, then the NBA's doctors, and I believe there's a board that can still look at it and decide, based on the potential risk or of exposure that you had in that situation, you might have that thing extended to that 10-day quarantine, the 14-day quarantine and all this. And so really a lot of it comes down to, like you said, the NFL has a specific number in mind, and it is, was the strip club portion of this open or not? And we have heard some say no. We were doing some research this morning that might indicate otherwise. So at the very least, I'm willing to say inconclusive.
Yes. I booked a champagne room for tomorrow online.
Why don't you book it for Friday after the show?
But like Trey's also not joking. Like you were able to go online on Magic City's website and book that.
And book the room. Yes. So, I mean, that part of the establishment was indeed open.
So we don't, I'm not willing to say that's proof because of the way a website operates, but at the very least,
correct.
I need still to hear definitively, because I did way more research on Magic City's strip club open last night than I ever intended to do. But here we are.
And if you go to their website, you can see a gallery of photos that says July 2020, which would be an indication that that part of the establishment is indeed open. But before you do the whole, this is ridiculous, you can go to any restaurant, why would you go to the Legs and Eggs buffet, which is, by the way, what Adam Pac-Man Jones once did before a meeting in New York with Commissioner Goodell on behavioral issues. He went to a strip club for breakfast because he was hungry. Apparently, Magic City's wings are to die for.
Yeah, they're a little bit different. The review I'm about to read you is proof that these wings might be worth risking it all for. Proof is brought to you by Pennzoil. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on Sequin 4A wear testing using SAE 5W30. This was a review that was posted online about the wings at Magic City, which Lou Williams has a order of wings named after him. I believe it's the lemon pepper wings on the menu. Yeah. This is the review. But y'all, the reason why I came here, the wings, these mother bleeping wings delivered to you by the gods on the other side of a tiny little window. Pro tip, bring cash only or else you're starving. You know where you are, right? Carb will get you nowhere. I entered Nirvana when I hit into the first wing. I could hear the deafening crispy crunch over the loud music and conversation. It just became me and the chicken wing and no one else around. The perfect amount of sauce so you weren't begging for napkins. Oh, y'all, the right amount of salt so you weren't done after just two. The medium wings had just the right amount of heat and you weren't sucking in your mouth. Paired with a cold beer or a drink just to cleanse your mouth before the next bite, it was perfection. And the fries are my favorite type. Basically steak fries. Little golden pillows of heaven. They were so good we ordered another box. Now, it could have been the alcohol tasting this food, and who knows if I'll feel the same way about these wings when I'm sober, but I'd like to think it's part of the magic of Magic City that made those wings taste so damn good.
So that is, I mean, if you're looking for a positive review for a chicken wing, I don't know if you can do any better than that.
Is it one of those things where he's just being charged for getting caught? Because Zion Williamson was out of the bubble for an excused absence that we know nothing about. Everyone around it was tight-lipped.
And a longer period of time as well. So if they both were tested every day and they both tested negative every day, why is Zion's 4 days and why is Lou Williams 10 days?
It seems like he's being punished for the optic of being caught out, because Zion could have very well gone out to dinner during this and no one said anything and no one documented it.
Right.
And he could have been in a situation that was very similar to this, but Lou Williams had it sneak out. It wasn't like this was the NBA just found out about it in the meeting they had with Lou Williams when he came back to the bubble. It was, there was a picture posted. And so I think while we're going to say, and like Matt Barnes said, maybe you're being graded because it's Magic City attached to it, I think it's also just the fact that there was documentation of you somewhere that could have been deemed worthy of exposure in this situation.
So is that fair? I mean, that's at Golica Wingo. You can tweet us. You think that's fair? Because he admitted to it. He told the NBA investigators he attended the viewing. Then at around 6 o'clock, then he went to Magic City for dinner, and so he was upfront with them about everything. So should that be worthy of a punishment if he was out?
Well, it's not technically a punishment.
I know, you're right. I'm sorry.
And that's we need to be careful with the phrasing, because he's not being punished.
I would like someone to ask the league, why is Zion 4 days and why is Lou 10 days? And see what answer we get.
And how important do optics matter in this as opposed to practical stuff?
Well, and right? I think so, because it's one of those things. Like, this can even go back to when I got arrested in college for underage drinking. I wasn't arrested for doing something different than everyone else. I was arrested because I got caught.
Right.
And this is a similar situation where Matt Barnes got caught in a photo at some place where Lou Williams, excuse me, Matt Barnes, the soundbite we played earlier. Lou Williams got caught in a place where, at the very least, it shows he was somewhere other than the preordained place we said you were excused to go for the NBA, and so they felt like they had to do something. Part of me understands that from the league side.
I can somewhat see both sides of this. I would like to know if there's more protocol than just he was excused to go out, but then can you basically go anywhere following the local ordinances and because you're getting tested
every
day.
He was being tested every day. Every single day. All right, much more on this. We'll go from the Magic City to the Magic Kingdom, and much more on why Lou Williams is quarantining for 10 days and everything else that isn't going on inside the bubble and things that are. We'll get to all of that after this.
The Knicks are finalizing a contract for Tom Thibodeau to be the team's new head coach.
The narrative on Tibbs is well established at this point. He has got to fix what is being said about him.
Nobody can argue that Tom Thibodeau has the most successful resume of available coaches that want to open market.
What happened with the Timberwolves and what may happen with the Knicks, I think it is those relationships with the younger guys in the league.
Golic and Wingo with you on a Monday morning. Hope your weekend was great. Hope your Monday's off to a good start. As always, presented by Progressive Insurance. Phone guests joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, including our next guest, who, by the way, just by delivery alone, should be the definitive voice on the entire Lou Williams scenario, because we want to just get to the bottom of this more than anything else, and a bunch of other things in the NBA. Kendrick Perkins is now with us this morning. Kendrick, how are you right now?
I'm doing well. How y'all doing?
We're doing good. We're trying to figure out if Lou Williams is being penalized because he went to Magic City, and is that fair?
Yes, it's fair. I mean, listen, Lou has to be more responsible. You're looking at a guy that's, you know, a 15, 16-year vet, you know, and during this pandemic time and then, you know, leaving the bubble. You know, I understand he had a family emergency, but he has to be more responsible. I get it, you know, going to Magic City for the wings or whatever, although I think he went for the legs and thighs. But at the end of the day, you have a young guy like Zion Williamson who left for a family emergency, and he handled it more maturely than Lou will. We didn't hear anything from Zion. He went and took care of his business, and now he's back to the bubble. Well, here it is. You see Lou Will in Magic City, and it's kind of disturbing because the NBA has did a great job going forward as far as dealing with the pandemic, getting this bubble together. And they tested zero cases out of 362 people. And now Lou going to Magic City and then trying to come back to the bubble is putting everybody at a higher risk, so he should be penalized. He should have to quarantine for 2 weeks to make sure that everyone is safe, because it was just irresponsible on his part.
Well, let me play devil's advocate, Kendrick. And do we know that Zion didn't go out to dinner anywhere? I forget Magic City, just to dinner in a restaurant where there were other people. And if take Magic City, we know what it is, but if Magic City is following the code and has the amount of the people that they're supposed to have in there, if they're following the local laws, what's the difference? What's the difference if somebody leaves the bubble and goes out to dinner or goes to Magic City as long as they're following the local rules?
Well, here's the thing. You mean to tell me that Zion Williamson, who's one of the most popular basketball players in the world, if he goes out to dinner, I'm pretty sure he can't be discreet about it. Like someone, they have so many people that's able to, that got cell phones that probably would have recorded him. And then again, he didn't get caught. So at the end of the day, Lou Will got caught. And then to make it even worse, it was at Magic City. Like, just think about it. That's not like a typical dinner. We talking about Magic City. We talking about, you know, a place with, you know, a lot of, you know, interaction going on. So at the end of the day, I think that's a whole different scenario.
talking to Kendrick Perkins with us. Thank you for using interaction on FCC-regulated radio with us, Perk. We greatly appreciate your professionalism in that regard and saving us from ourselves here. So that is going to be one scenario that the Clippers are going to have to deal with, and that roster is already dealing with missing some guys and missing some bodies potentially in all this. But we did get some news yesterday about a team that's not in the bubble, Perk. It seems the Knicks are zeroing in on and getting ready to finalize a deal with Tom Thibodeau to be their next head coach there. You played, obviously, under a team with Thibs on the staff in Boston. I'm curious, how do you see the fit working with him in an organization like the Knicks?
Well, listen, the Knicks were at rock bottom, right? So the only way they could go is up. And in my opinion, when you look at Tom Thibodeau, he's the true definition of what? Culture. And that's what the Knicks have been lacking. Yes, you know, Tibbs is going to bring that winning mentality, and I get it. Everyone is saying, you know, Tibbs has a history of running young guys into the ground, and, you know, sometimes he overworked guys or whatever. But, you know, Tibbs has been out the game for, you know, about a year and a half, 2 years. So he's had time to evaluate himself. He's had time to look himself in the mirror. And Tibbs is a smart guy. So he's going to make the adjustments that need be. But with that being said, Tibbs is a guy that he don't take any shortcuts. He's there at 5 in the morning. And the way that Tibbs carry himself, he holds everyone accountable by his actions, even the front office people, because of the way that he punches in the clock. So in my opinion, I think it was a great hire for them because that's the one thing that they need is a foundation and culture, and I think Tibbs is the right guy for that.
Well, listen, they've been looking for the right guy for a long time in New York, and hopefully this will get them going on a positive trajectory. They're not inside the bubble. As for the teams inside the bubble, what are you hearing from the people that are there and how they're handling? I mean, Steven Adams came out and said we're staying in a bloody resort, basically. We should be fine, but there's going to be a monotony that's going to sit in. The monotony and the malaise is going to be part of this process, especially when you're not playing games yet, full regular season games. What have you been hearing from players inside the bubble, how they're dealing with it?
Well, you know, guys to me have been, you know, they've been pretty satisfied and pretty pleased with the things that, you know, how the bubble been. I think Adam Silver and the NBA and the Players Association, along with Chris Paul and Michelle Roberts, has done a great job with putting together this, I call it a billion-dollar bubble. You look at it, they're trying to accommodate guys. They're listening to guys' ideas to make them feel comfortable. And in my opinion, from the outside looking in, just watching the scrimmages, guys, you know, are down there and they're focused. The scrimmages have been very competitive. You could tell guys are focused on playing basketball, and that's the real reason that they're down there. But listen, they just put a barbershop down there. Like, they got everything that you could imagine for these people. And it's probably one of the safest places in America to be right now. So I'm looking at guys, you know, they going fishing. And a lot of these guys stay in their room anyway and play NBA 2K and you know, want to play the video game so they can play with themselves on the game. So at the end of the day, I think it's going to work out just fine. And from the outside looking in at the scrimmages, guys are locked in and focused on what they're supposed to be, and that's basketball.
Kendrick Perkins joining us here on Golic and Wingo, and they're catching some nice bass out of those lakes as well. That's been really cool to watch. hey, Kendrick, as far as the play, once it starts with the 8 regular season games left, if you're one of the top teams, how do you play your stars in these 8 games?
Well, you know, you walk a fine line because, you know, you have 8 games to get guys in game rhythm, to get chemistry going, to get guys – you know, back in game shape and their legs up under them. But at the same time, you look at a veteran team like the Lakers or even a veteran squad like the Los Angeles Clippers. You want to make sure you do a great job of managing guys' minutes, but at the same time, you want to make sure guys get the right repetition in for game time going into the postseason. And at the end of the day, you also want to make sure that you get other guys' minutes down the 14, 15, you know, 12 through 15 that's on the bench, because you just never know. You might need those guys. So this is a time where, you know, the coaches get paid a great salary. And they're going to have to really coach and make sure that they, you know, cross their T's and dot their I's as far as making sure their rotations are set, making sure that they play the guys the right amount of minutes and getting guys rest. So that's how I'm looking at it.
Kendrick Perkins with us here on Golic and Wingo. Perk, before we let you go, I wanted to double back to Tibbs for a second here, just because you mentioned mm-hmm. foundation when talking about what he's going to be able to come in there and set New York, but we know where this eventually leads. Do you think he's going to be able to change enough to help make New York a place that free agents are going to want to come? Do you think NBA stars, knowing what you said about the reputation of Tom Thibodeau, are going to want to come and play for him eventually?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think they're going to land in any stars anytime soon. And if they do, it's not going to be because of Tibbs. It's going to be because of Wild World West. That's why he's there. You know, that name's, you know, William Wesley, his nickname World Wide West, is he had that nickname for a reason, because he have relationships and he with everyone. I'm talking about, you know, going outside of basketball. He's hanging with Jay-Z and Beyonce. He knows everyone. So he's going to be the guy that lure in, you know, free agents and happen to make trades for stars. But I think the Knicks need to draft well. And they're going to probably have a lottery pick, probably the number one pick. And the guy for that is LaMelo Ball. So I think that they need to draft well, make sure that they put a great coaching staff behind Tibbs and a player development staff and build from there, and then try to attract stars.
Well, we'll see. They've been trying to attract stars for a while.
Right.
And the stars have been saying, I'm good. We'll go to Brooklyn instead. Perk, as always, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate y'all.
You got it, man. Golic and Wingo reminding you, don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at Home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz Vans and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything.
That's going
to
be interesting if that's the guy that can attract free agents. You had a guy in one of the great coaches,
Phil Jackson,
yeah. One of the most rings of all time, you know, come in there to try and do that. Hey, I've won championships, and he couldn't get people to come there.
He also seemed largely disinterested.
Yeah, he wasn't really there when he was there.
I agree, but this will be something, because that's what you need. I don't care, and to Kendrick's point, doesn't matter who it is in the organization. If you have somebody that can lure big-time free agents there, hey, more power to you. Get it done.
That was the presence I forgot about in all this, which isn't surprising because Worldwide West's whole presence throughout the NBA has been sort of one that's seen and less heard throughout a lot of this one, outside of some very overt pop culture references. Yeah. Because I was looking at it as Tibbs is the selling point. That's a difficult selling point for a star, knowing you're going to go in, not to a situation where you are the alpha on that one. You're going to be challenged on that because Tom Thibodeau is very much that kind of personality, but also one where you're going to have to work. You're not just going to get to call the shots as a player, and that's always interesting when it comes to the brand of high-profile star you're
really
looking to court.
Really going to be interesting what Wes brings to the table there as far as getting people there and obviously Tibbs and coaching.
Right. I agree with Kendrick. I think that if it's going to happen, it's because of Wes, not because of Tibbs. I mean, Tibbs will be the guy that does the X's and O's, but the recruitment, that will absolutely fall probably on Worldwide West's shoulders. All right, coming up, and then there's the one sport that's operating outside a bubble and learning all the challenges that come with that, as well as a quick ramp-up to start the season, really devastating one position through the first few games of the season. We'll get to all of that. Golic and Wingo with you. Glad you're with us on a Monday morning. So baseball is back, but how certain are we that it's going to continue at full strength based on what we saw injury-wise and virus-wise over the first few days of the season? For more on this, we're delighted to be joined by our intrepid Major League Baseball analyst, Tim Kirkchin, and he's brought to you by Blue Emu, pharmacist recommended. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast and you won't stink. The perfect sponsor for Tim Kirkchin because his information never stinks.
There you go.
Tim, good morning. Thanks for being with us. Let's deal with the injuries first. How concerning is it that we've seen so many high-profile pitchers come up lame over the first few days of the season with a shortened ramp-up to begin playing baseball again?
Yeah, Trey, it's a problem when Clayton Kershaw, Corey Kluber, and now Justin Verlander, three of the best pitchers in the game, either didn't make their first start or have had trouble since. And this has been my concern and that of many others. Baseball is such a delicate sport that if you're not ready to play this game, especially when you're a pitcher, it's going to come back and get you. And the truncated summer camp and the bizarre season that we've had to this point, I worry, have the pitchers gotten themselves ready enough to pitch even a 60-game schedule? And a couple things have happened that make you wonder about this, and that's not a good sign that this many pitchers, just pitchers, have had an injury like this early into a season.
Even though it's only a couple of games, Timmy, will it make managers think about how they use their pitchers going forward?
Yeah, I mean, Mike, we've been going with bullpen games now for 5 years. It's been unbelievable how many relievers have been used, and we've seen it again this year because it just doesn't make any sense now to push a top starting pitcher and make him throw an extra inning or two when you've got all those relievers ready. And I think these managers who are under tremendous pressure in a lot of ways are going to say, we're going to need this guy for October because the October playoff run is going to be bigger than it's ever been with the number of games and rounds and everything else. We have to keep everyone healthy. So I can't imagine too many starting pitchers getting pushed too early.
Timmy, I'm curious then on the other side of this, dealing with the virus portion of this, because we've also seen that affect pitching and a number of other players. The Marlins had those four positive tests that caused them to stay in Philadelphia instead of going immediately back home to Miami. How close do you think we are of a team finding that threshold where they say, we're going to have to power it down for a few games?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we're there yet, but the Marlins news yesterday and their travel plans today is obviously a giant red flag as to what if this continues, not just with the Marlins and it gets worse, let's say, with them, but with other teams. What are we going to do then? Now, you have 60 players to deal with, not 30, so you could keep bringing guys in, but that's kind of not the point. At some point, you have to say, this team is incapable of playing baseball this year. I don't think it'll come to that, but yesterday was not a good day for Major League Baseball, given all the COVID-related issues.
Tim Kirkchin with us this morning. Tim, we were all excited for the start of the season last week, the game between the Nats and the Yankees, and we saw it there. It started with Juan Soto, who tested positive and had to miss that game. Buster Olney famously or infamously said he gave the Major League Baseball season a 5% chance to start and a 0% chance that it would finish with a World Series champ. In light of what we're seeing just 4 or 5 days into the season, where are you in your confidence level of this thing being able to be go through to the end?
Well, I want you to note my hesitation here. I think we're going to finish this season because Major League Baseball so badly wants to put this season on. And now that we've started, I think there's a way to finish this unless, of course, we have more Marlin-related stories. Plus, you guys know that the playoffs are where the owners make most of their money. And now the players are going to be cut in on that playoff money more than they have in the past. So everything points towards once you start this, you got to finish it. But we can't finish this. It would be stupid. It would be irresponsible to try to finish this if it's just all going in the wrong direction. So if we have a bunch more days like yesterday, I think they're going to have to say this is not worth it. But it's going to take an awful lot to get to that point because of the money that will be lost in October.
Tim Kirkson joining us here on Golic and Wingo. Okay, let's get on to the field. We had games. Everybody's got 3 games in, so there are 2 things that we can factually say. At this point, nobody is going undefeated because everybody has a loss, and Nelson Cruz is on absolute fire with 3 home runs and 10 RBI already. Other than those two couple of things, what stood out from you in this opening first few days?
Well, we have to go to the unbeaten teams, like you said. This is why baseball is so great, that the Orioles, the Tigers, and the Marlins are 3 really bad teams, and they won 2 out of 3 to start the season against the Reds in one case, the Marlins, that's pretty darn good that the Tigers could beat the Reds 2 out of 3. It just shows again, this is why baseball is different, that bad teams go into good teams' ballparks and beat them 2 out of 3. To me, that's what stood out to me, is that this whole thought that everyone has a chance, we certainly saw that the first weekend of the season. We also saw dominant pitching, no matter how many pitchers might have gotten hurt. It just shows you again, when a hitter has not seen really live pitching for a long time, and squad games I don't think really count, that's why you see these elevated strikeout totals, which we've been seeing for 5 to 10 years. But I think we should get used to seeing even more of that, because the pitching is so good and the hitters are just not ready for this.
One instance that was an injury but a pitcher not being so good was Shohei Ohtani's first outing for the Angels there. I'm curious, is that a blip on the radar, or is that something that they're going to be more concerned about, as this whole idea of him being a two-way player was something that was so exciting to so many?
Yeah, and it still is exciting, but they're going to have to be very cautious and very patient. I've had guys who've had Tommy John tell me it takes at least 2 full years before you feel even close to the way you felt before. And we're not even at 2 full years with Ohtani. Plus, being a position player, I mean a DH, a guy who is concentrating on being a hitter at the same time, he probably is not going to be able to rehab that arm exactly the way he wants it when he's doing so many other activities. This is another reason why we haven't really had a two-way player since Babe Ruth 100 years ago. This is why it's so hard to do, but he's so important to their team as a pitcher and as a hitter. Maybe eventually they're just going to have to say, all right, we got to pick one or the other here, because he might get hurt more often doing both.
So just that, before we let you go, Timmy, if you would give them advice, would you say pitch or hit?
Well, I would rather him be a pitcher than a hitter if he can be a great pitcher. There are a lot of great hitters out there, but if you can find a starting pitcher who can be dominant every fifth day, I think you have to turn him full-time into a pitcher. But, man, I would hate to lose that swing. So I still say try this as long as you can until it doesn't work.
And we'll see how long that goes with Ohtani on the dual front. Timmy, as always, we appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you, sir.
See you, guys.
See you, Tim.
All right, coming up next, one NFL player has already opted out of playing in 2020, and it was for all the right reasons. We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN News.
Wingo here on ESPN Radio. Let's get you caught up on a little bit of what's trending. In Major League Baseball, Astros manager Dusty Baker told reporters Sunday that Justin Verlander suffered a forearm strain and that the team will shut him down for a couple weeks and see. Baker's comments came in the midst of unconfirmed reports that he would miss the rest of the season. Verlander denied those reports in a tweet saying, quote, "The report that I'm currently missing the rest of the season is not accurate. There is a forearm strain, and I'm hopeful that with some rest it will heal and I'll be able to return soon. Thank you for all the well wishes." The 37-year-old Verlander felt tenderness in his arm during his start Friday against the Mariners. He allowed 2 runs and 3 hits in 6 innings, along with 7 strikeouts and 1 walk in his first start of the season. Meanwhile, the Knicks are finalizing a 5-year deal with Tom Thibodeau to make him the next head coach of the franchise. Knicks President Leon Rose and Executive Vice President William Wesley are completing a 2-month searching process, with Tibbs long expected emerging as with the job. The 62-year-old Thibodeau comes to the Knicks after a tumultuous 2-plus seasons with the Timberwolves that included the franchise's first playoff berth in 14 years, and some unraveling centered around Jimmy Butler's trade demand that led to Tibbs' dismissal as president and coach back in 2019. And in the NFL, Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Laurent Duvernay-Tardif has opted out of the 2020 season. He wrote on social media, becoming the first NFL player to publicly say he won't suit up for this season. The 2019-year-old right guard and medical school graduate from McGill University in Canada has said he'll be assisting as an orderly in a long-term care facility in Montreal during the coronavirus pandemic. In his social media post, he called the decision one of the most difficult of his life. According to an agreement approved by both the league and the union on Friday, and this is important, players considered high risk for COVID-19 can earn $350,000 and an accrued NFL season if they choose to opt out of the 2020 season. Players without risk can earn $150,000 for opting out, but no accrued season. What's Trending is brought to you by Redbox. Rent Scoob at Redbox tonight. Scooby-Doo, Shaggy, and Mystery Inc. Discover Scooby's secret legacy could be the key to stopping a global dogpocalypse. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
Be wary of the global dogpocalypse.
I can think of worse apocalypses.
You know what? It's real. Yes.
Yeah.
It's real.
Well, I mean, like, the one that, like, David Jacoby at this network is always terrified of the kangaroo apocalypse, which is much scarier than any dog apocalypse.
They are nasty.
And they're scary. You've seen them up close. They're jacked.
Right. But how did he become so phobic of a kangaroo apocalypse? See, now, this is the question I have after what you just said. I don't disagree with that point, but how the hell does someone get there?
Through a lot of time and planning.
Right. I mean, like, how do you go about getting to being terrified of a kangaroo apocalypse?
I don't know. I'd imagine by thinking about it for a long enough time, because it's scary to think about.
Which is what I want to know. Yeah. What drove him down the road to even ponder the idea of a kangaroo apocalypse?
We'll figure that out, because that is much more complex than even what the NFL had to figure out and did figure out. We mentioned Laurent Duvernay-Tardif opting out of this season, and that was one of the big cruxes for the NFL going into the last bit of negotiations they had. We remember Dan Graziano had the 3 points that were basically the opt-out clause and all of the important money issues for the NFL, but it seems that as of today, they're going to have all those things ironed out when it comes to what happens with the salary cap, what happens with players that are opting out, and any of the real last remaining questions.
And again, a quick tip of the cap to Tardif.
Absolutely.
And what he is doing. He is a doctor. He got his medical degree in Canada. So, he tried to get MD after his name?
Yes, on his jersey. They wouldn't let him do it.
They wouldn't do it. And as part of his post, he said, I cannot allow myself to potentially transmit the virus in our community simply to play the sport that I love. If I'm to take risks, I will do it caring for patients. I
mean, sign me up for that guy.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, just really incredible. And then there's what you started reading, Mike. What does he fall under? Is he considered high risk? Does he get the 350 in the year counting for him, or does he not consider it high risk? He's choosing to opt out. Is he not high risk and date the 150 in the year doesn't count for him?
Oh, I don't think, unless he's got a condition that I'm unsure about here, and there's a laundry list of conditions that'll lead you to be considered high risk
terms. I think he's under the 150 category.
Yeah, I think he would be in that, because his decision was made relative to his other profession outside of football and what he wants to do in this, because the NFL's got a bunch of rules that pertain to high risk and what it would for you, things like a previous cancer, chronic kidney disease, COPD, a weakened immune system, sickle cell trait, type 2 diabetes, asthma, cystic fibrosis, hypertension, neurological diseases, pulmonary fibrosis, like all of these things for you. They've also got it for a spouse, someone you cohabitate with, if there are things they are at risk for in this situation, anything that would fall under the high risk for the CDC, they would have to offer you separate housing from your spouse should you want to take it in those situations. So they've got a laundry list of things that I don't think apply to Laurent. It seems like he's going to be that personal choice of opting out that's going to land him $150,000 and I believe no accrued season.
And he was scheduled to make
$2.75 he gave up for $150,000 because he wanted to care for those patients.
So good for him.
Really incredible. But they did agree to a lot of things.
As I
keep reading and SportsCenter, they have, you know, we were talking about this Lou Williams situation where he went out to dinner at a gentleman's club, and now we feel because it went public, that's why he got the 10-day quarantine, not the 4-day that Zion got. I mean, they spell it out in the NFL. If you contract the virus, though Lou Williams did not contract the virus, Lou Williams has tested negative. If you contract the virus and it is found out you were at a nightclub or a concert or a large house party or
getting
other
wings
things
at Magic City,
that automatically you are going to be put in the category of being put on a non-football injury list of where they do not have to pay you while you're on that list.
Yeah, and so all of those things are going to be important. And it's, again, the whole idea we've heard around sports is you have this shared responsibility as one of the players, as a part of this, to conduct your business in a way. And we're seeing this play out in baseball now. The reason it's so important is because it is such a very fragile thing you're dealing with outside of a bubble environment.
Yeah, listen, you know, if you're the NFL and you're just getting ready to have training camps, rookies show up this week, and you're seeing what's going on in Major League Baseball, you have to be like,
What? You have to be worried. Listen, without a doubt, because it does come down to the player and then the player's family, if they have a family. Where does the family go? And then comes back to the player, and then the player goes to the facility. You can have all the guidelines in place that you want. Yeah. But when you go home, now you have to follow those other guidelines.
Absolutely. Golic and Wingo is brought to you by Indeed. If the next step for your business is finding a high-impact hire, try Indeed. Their flexible payment options mean better bang for your buck with no long-term contracts. Indeed will even give you a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post at Indeed.com/high impact. As always, terms and conditions do apply. So we are continuing to wait on what's going on with the Marlins in Major League Baseball as they've had an outbreak of COVID while they're on the road. They're delaying their return back to Florida because of that. But coming up next, there's one NFL player who is spreading his wings for a different team in 2020. And what does that mean for his new team and his old team? We'll get to all of that next. Golic and Wingo with you on a Monday morning, ESPN Radio as well as ESPN News.